Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Just Us Talk with Tisha. We are here every Wednesday, typically, every Wednesday from 10 to 10:30. You can certainly call into the show by dialing, 215-383-3872. Again, that's 215-383-3872. Now, Just Us Talks with Tisha is a Blog Talk radio show that airs every Wednesday from 10 to 10:30. And here we talk about various issues, from legal issues to social issues, political issues, and everything in between. I always say that my strategy is essentially to bring information to the people, because at the end of the day, it is just us. I wanted to talk today about prenuptial agreement. So many of you know that I am a family law attorney in Maryland. I also practice criminal law as well as personal injury. And I will give my information at the end of the show. But, you know, family law is very, very intriguing to me. And the reason being is because, you know, I tell you what, you can have a million clients and a million different issues in looking at each person, just because the things that people go through individually in their own, you know, life situations are just so astonishing to me that every single person can just go through something so incredibly different. But even if you've been practicing law for a million years, obviously I'm being facetious, but, you know, if you're practicing law for a very, very long time, you know, no two clients are generally alike. And so this issue came up recently, the matter of prenuptial agreement. And so I figured it was worth a radio show. And the reason being is because, you know, just like many of you, I'm on Facebook and Twitter and things like that. And, you know, I see the different celebrity things that are happening, the different articles that are put out, and I'm fascinated. You know, when you see somebody, you know, married, maybe it's like a basketball star or a football star, whatever, and, you know, they're married and they're getting divorced, and then everybody wants to talk about this prenuptial agreement. And, you know, Kanye West and the song Gold Digger, he refers, you know, we want prenup. And so I think it became mainstream for everyday people to consider this whole concept of prenuptial agreements after hearing that song. Because in the song, he references, you know, basically the same scenario where somebody is a, you know, athletic star or whatever, and, you know, is with somebody, and, you know, they take half of what he's earned, and now he's driving off in a Hyundai. You know, and that is a real possibility, because when you get married, it is very true that what is yours solely is now yours collectively. And in the state of Maryland, marital property is any property that was acquired during the pendency of a valid marriage. That's marital property. And in the state of Maryland, I don't know how it works other places, but in the state of Maryland, it doesn't matter if it's in your name alone and her name alone or in your names together. If it was acquired from the time you said, I do, until the day your divorce is, you know, stamped final, whatever you acquire is marital property. Whatever you purchase with marital funds is marital property, or at least it could be marital property, or a portion of it could be marital property. Like, for example, something that comes up very often is just say the husband is cheating and he's buying all these things for the mistress. But if he's using marital funds, or if the purchase of these things can be traced back and its source can be traced back to marital funds, it's marital property. And so you run into a whole bunch of issues when you're not protecting yourself. And what a prenuptial agreement does, in essence, just like I just stated, you know, there are certain things that are automatic once you get married. Like I said, just like the accrual of marital property, there's also death benefit, right? The right to retirement. You know, all of these types of things are now available to the other spouse once you get married. And so because of these presumptions in the law regarding what marital property is, what a prenuptial agreement does is it allows you to change that. It allows you to say, you know, well, generally this would be considered marital property. But because we have a prenuptial agreement that is already, you know, what things would look like in the event of death, in the event of separation, and in the and or in the event, I'm sorry, of the divorce, right? Now we're able to change that by our agreement. And so a lot of those people are like, well, you know, I don't have a lot of money. And that's another one of the myths. I don't have a lot of money, so is it worth doing a prenuptial agreement? And the thing that I tell people is absolutely, absolutely, because you just don't know what's going to happen. And what's real, and I can certainly attest to this, is that going through a divorce, is especially if it's where people are fighting over property, children, whatever the case may be, if the divorce is contentious at all, it's not uncommon for the average divorce to cost, by the time it's all said and done, between $8,000 and maybe $15,000. You know, and that may be people who are just fighting average, not even people who are fighting a lot. So divorce can be really, really expensive. And so a prenuptial agreement allows you to take care of some of those things in advance. So you may not even have to deal with, you know, a contentious divorce because you've already taken care of it. So one of the things that a prenuptial agreement does in addition to that is, you know, other than the transaction costs in the event of a divorce or dissolution of marriage, it allows you to protect a business or inheritance from your spouse or partner in the event of death or divorce. Say, for example, like me, I'm a business owner. I have my own law practice, and I get married. And say when I get married, my business is valued at $2 million, right? So I get married, and then maybe my husband helps me build up the practice, right? And the marriage falls apart, and now we got to get divorced. So we got to get divorced, but he says, listen, I spent the last 15 years helping you build up this practice. When I met you, your practice was valued at $2 million, and now it's valued at $10 million. So I want my share of that $8 million that I've helped you build in that business, which that portion of it that it's gained in value over the last 15 years is marital property, and I helped you build that because, you know, there's something in non-monetary contributions. It's one of the things that Maryland court looks at when they're trying to figure out how to divide assets. They look at what monetary and non-monetary contributions have been made to this marriage. And so say, for instance, back to my example, say my husband says, I've helped you build up your practice, and I want my share of this $8 million, right? Having a prenuptial agreement in advance does, it allows me to go around or to change what would be the default setting. So if the default setting would be that he would be entitled to his quote-unquote fair share of my $8 million or now $10 million business, I can change that and allow the property to stay in my name. And it allows me to not have to, essentially give him a portion of my business. So that's something that a prenuptial agreement does. And we'll talk about the death benefit or, you know, what happens upon, you know, death in a second. But It allows you to any assets that you have to remain separate property, regardless of the contributions, monetary and non-monetary. So even if, you know, I have a business or have, you know, an IRA, which is a whole separate issue, right? If I have all of these assets and now my partner is saying, well, I've made monetary and non-monetary contributions to this marriage and, you know, I want whatever is owed to me. But we have a prenuptial agreement. So you can set up a prenuptial agreement however you want, generally speaking, so long as it the terms and everything that are necessary in order to establish a valid contract. And because it has its basis in contract law, it cannot be what's called unconscionable, meaning, you know, prenuptial agreements can be invalidated if it's challenged in court, if the court determines that it is unconscionable, meaning on its face it's completely unfair to the other side. And that, you know, we're not really going to get into all of those things today because it can go on and on forever about all of the different ways that you can challenge a prenuptial agreement. So today is really to dispel the myths about why you should or should not have a prenuptial agreement. And again, you should have one. The other thing a prenuptial agreement does, folks, is that it protects your assets for children of a prior marriage or other family members. So a lot of times when people get married and they're older, they may have children from another marriage or adult children that they want to be able to have either certain assets or certain property or whatever, to have that for those children, and it allows you to be able to do that. So it allows you to make provisions for the surviving spouse. But it also allows you, and this is another thing, is through a trust to have the assets ultimately passed down to your children after the death of, you know, the surviving, for the death of the surviving spouse. So that's like a whole separate issue too, but I want to be clear that it allows you to protect these assets that you may be trying to pass down, like I stated, for your children, provisions for them, that may not have been otherwise available if you were married, because the way that property is transferred down, if you die, is dependent on state law. So in your state, you know, every state is different, and it also makes a difference whether or not the person has a will versus does not have a will. But like I said, a prenup allows you to circumvent all of these default rules. A prenup allows you to make transfers to the benefit of a spouse at death while retaining your interest if the marriage fails. So say, for example, a prenup allows, like, say, for instance, two people are married, and it allows you to say, for example, title a home by one of the parties as tenancy by the entirety, and we'll talk about that. But it allows you to provide for the transferor to reacquire the home if the parties separate. So if you get married, right, and you have a home and you buy the home when you're married, usually the law requires you to own the property together as what's called tenancy by the entirety. And what that means is that neither party can do what's called encumber the property without the signature of the other party. But say, for example, you know, you have a home and one of the parties owns it, and you want to be able to reacquire the home if the parties separate. And so there are certain laws regarding the way that you can own property. Personal property is anything that's not a home, right? Anything that is not real property. Real property is a house, something that is on the land, you know, like that. That is real property. Personal property is essentially everything else. So the laws regarding real property is very different, and the way that you transfer it and the way that you can own it is very different. But a prenuptial agreement allows you to circumvent those rules and to reacquire the home if the parties separate. Because you can put certain provisions in your agreement that say, well, upon separation, you know, this is what will happen to this property. And this is what will happen to this property, right? And if we divorce, then this is what will happen. And if the person dies, then this is what will happen. So it allows you to circumvent all of those things. And I'm not sure if I lost you guys way back when we're talking about the different transfers and transferors and things like that. But if you have any questions, you can call my office at 301-744-7996. My office is located at 9701 Apollo Drive, Suite 301, and that's in Largo, Maryland. And if you need it, the zip code is 20774. So if I lost you at any point along the way, I'd be happy to clarify things for you. It's just that, let me just tell you, 30 minutes just runs so fast. So trying to get everything in 30 minutes can be a bit of a challenge. But another thing that, another benefit, even if you don't think it'll benefit you, I'm telling you, a prenuptial agreement will benefit everybody. A prenuptial agreement will allow you to alleviate any concerns that you may have regarding a new spouse if you divorce. Because sometimes, you know, people are concerned about, well, if we divorce and this new person, then they get married again, what happens to our property then? What happens to property that may have, you know, transferred by way of, you know, by way of marriage to this new spouse, right? So, you know, like I said, the general rules are the court will value the property upon divorce and the court will make an equitable distribution. Hear me clearly, not equal, equitable. That means the court is going to do what the court considers to be fair. That's how it works in the state of Maryland. And fairness, of course, is subjective. And so what the court does to determine equitable or fairness is they look at several factors. And I mentioned one of them, which is non-monetary and monetary contributions made by each of the spouses. So when the court is looking at all of these sides, well, what we think is equitable is that, you know, it is a 50-50 split. That's what the court thinks is equitable in this situation. Okay, well, say, for instance, me and my husband get divorced, and he gets 50% of my $10 million business that I just talked about. So now him and his new wife are walking around with $4 million of what I think is my money from my business, and I feel some kind of way about that. A prenuptial agreement will allow you to rewrite the rules, to change the game so that this new woman is not driving around in the Tesla that you wanted because she got $4 million of your business. So that's what it allows you to do. Another thing, laws change. People move. A prenup allows you to have rules in place to, again, to circumvent that because you can determine, you know, you can set your contract and say, well, the laws of this state are going to apply. Obviously, it's going to be the state that you live at the time, but it protects you just in case, you know, now we're in Maryland, but when we divorce, now we all live in California, or I live in California, he lives in Colorado, right? So it allows the laws of the state of Maryland to still control our agreement, and the laws that are in place at the time the agreement is executed would be the laws that will govern the agreement, and that protects you in case the legislature just decides to have, you know, a day of drunken, you know, drunken revelry and, you know, change all the laws, do something stupid. It allows you to have a protection against that. Now, one of the things that we talked about is the way that property can transfer. And I touched very, very briefly, and I'm not sure it was all the way clear, but like I said, call my office if you got any questions. We talked about separation and divorce, but another way that property can transfer and the way a prenup can help you is regarding death. So understand, though, about a prenup. A prenup, if you think about it like this, it's just one of the tools in the toolbox when it comes to estate planning, right? So there is wills, there are trusts, there are prenups. It's just like just say it's step one and the toolbox that you need in order to do an estate plan. So if, you know, if you have a will, you know, just make sure that, you know, you have someone talk to you about what your will looks like, what your prenuptial agreement looks like, and make sure that those things work together all for the sole benefit of your protection and the protection of those whom you want to protect, right? That's important. So we talked about a prenup essentially circumventing the default rule. So if someone dies intestate, and what that means is, you know, essentially that you don't have a will, the state law provides that a statutory disposition of the dead person's property, right? So what that means is there's state laws that are going to govern what happens to the person's property if you die without a will. So in Maryland, if you know, people are married and one of the spouses dies and the spouse that died is died without a will, then what happens with the surviving spouse is the surviving spouse will get one half of the net estate if there is a surviving minor child. And if there is no surviving minor child in the state of Maryland, the surviving spouse will get $15,000 plus one half of the estate if there is no surviving spouse. But there is another surviving, what's called issue or parent. So say, for instance, there's no minor child, right, but there is an adult child or a surviving parent of the spouse that passed away, then the surviving spouse would get $15,000 plus one half, right? And if your spouse dies intestate and there's nobody, no surviving issue, no surviving parent, the surviving spouse gets the entire estate. Hear me clearly when I say this. The last thing that you want is for a man or a woman that cheated on you, that was terrible to you, that you were planning to divorce, to get your entire estate all because you didn't set up a will and you did not have a prenuptial agreement, right? So if you don't have a will and you do not have a prenuptial agreement and your spouse dies, the surviving spouse will get the entire estate if there is no surviving, what's called issue or surviving parent. So make sure that you talk to your local friendly estate planning attorney. And I know some. I don't do it myself, but I know some really, really great ones. But, you know, make sure that at the end of the day that what it is that you want is able to be executed and executed properly because you've consulted the right people and you've taken the right steps. The right people are, of course, the Law Office of Tisha F. Hillman, 301-744-7996, 9701 Apollo Drive, Suite 301, Largo, Maryland, 20774. Please feel free to visit our website at www.tshillmanlaw.com. Okay, so now let's talk really briefly about what happens if a person has a will. Okay, so the laws of each state vary, so you talk to the right person. But in the state of Maryland, Maryland does what's called, and this is done by statute, right? There's a statute in the state of Maryland that allows a surviving spouse to do what's called take a statutory share of the estate rather than accept the provisions of the will. So say, for instance, my spouse dies, and I say, I don't like the provisions of your will, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take what's called the statutory elective share. I'm going to take that instead of accepting the terms, accepting the benefits that I'm allowed under the will. So in Maryland, the statutory elective share is one-third of the decedent's net estate, And that's if there is no surviving issue. And if there, I'm sorry, if there is a surviving issue, if there is no surviving issue, and the person died with a will, if you don't like the will, then the statutory elective share with no surviving issue is one half of the estate. And I hope that makes sense. So just run it really quick. Person dies. They died with a will. They don't have any surviving children. Then the surviving spouse can take the elective share, and the elective share would be one half of the estate under those terms, right? So, again, have a prenuptial agreement. A prenup, like I said, is step one in estate planning. You want to make sure that it's done properly. Please don't go online to whatever these, what is it, LegalZoom.com, that kind of stuff. Please don't do that. Please make sure that that what you want, whether it be in your prenuptial agreement, in your will, what have you, that it's done by someone who is competent, and that you're not just basically doing it on your own. And if you decide that you want to do a prenuptial agreement, it's a lot. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. And this is why I say it's not something that you really want to do on your own, because if it's not executed, if it's not drafted and executed properly, then all of the things that you think, all of the things that you were trying to do to protect yourself in the agreement may not actually occur because it was done incorrectly. Because there must be what's called a financial disclosure. So the parties have to exchange all types of financial advice. Like I told you in the very, very beginning, because it has its, because it's based in the principles of contract law, it cannot be unconscionable. Meaning, again, the terms of the agreement cannot be facially unconscionable. So, in essence, it has to be fair. And so there's usually like an economically stronger party and a weaker party. And so essentially to make it more fair, you know, you want to make, if you are the economically stronger party, you may want to make some provisions for the weaker party so that at death or at divorce, it doesn't leave that person completely without any financial resources, specifically if they're taking care of your children, right? If you guys have children in common. That's why a prenup is not, you know, it's not a document that can be, because someone asked me this question the other day, is can it be essentially, if I don't marry this person and I decide to marry this person, can I use the same prenup? The answer is no. The reason being is because, like I said, there's financial disclosures and there's all types of information that has to be included. And, you know, you may not know that other person, you know, person X versus person Y, you may not know person Y's position as it relates to all of those things because they weren't contemplated when the agreement was drafted. So it is something that's very individualized. But just make sure the prenuptial agreement is done fairly, that it's done by someone that's competent, and that it contemplates all of the things that you want to have protected in that agreement. At the end of the day, it's all about protecting yourself, protecting your children or issue, protecting your assets. Because the thing that you don't want is, you know, upon separation, divorce, whatever the case may be, is to leave your entire estate, your entire, leave it into the hands of someone that you no longer want to be with. But if you have any questions, call my office, 301-744-7996. And just remember to join us next week at 10 o'clock on Just Us Talk with Tisha. Every single day, make sure that you make every day your best day and live your best life today. Have a great week. Thank you.